Welcome, brothers. Good evening. This is the monthly Master Builder call for January 21st, 2015. We've got a great crew of brothers on the call live this evening. So if you're listening later on, we also welcome you. It's a pleasure to be your facilitator on this call. My name is Mike Clevenger. If I haven't met you, I look forward to someday meeting you. If you were on the call last month, you'll recall that we had with us Brother Michael Kirkat, the author of a brand new book he published called The Working Tools of Leadership. And the book caught my eye several months ago, and it's about applying the teachings of Freemasonry. And it goes right along. Goes right along with the Masons Lead Better program and what we are teaching in that workshop. And I advertised that I invited Michael back, Brother Michael, to go through some more of the book. I've been studying the book, and the more I study it, the more I like it. So I invited him to come back this evening. Unfortunately, 45 minutes ago or more, well, maybe it's about an hour ago, he called me from LAX. Well, it was a little before that because he called me twice, and he called me the first time and said my plane to get me back home has been delayed, and if they don't delay me anymore, I'll be home and I'll be able to be on the call. Well, he called me a little later and got delayed again, and so he's not sitting in the airport. He's on an airplane right now, so unfortunately, he's not going to be with us tonight. And that's not going to stop us from having a good session, but I was looking forward to having Michael back. We're going to have him back again. Those of you who listened to him last month, quite an engaging guy and a great Mason, and so we'll have Michael back another time. For those of you who may be on this call or listening to this call for the first time, I did this last month, but I'd like to do it again. Just a quick brief summary about the Masons Lead Better program, what it means, what are some of the things that go on in the workshop. And so when it comes to your district, you'll have some forewarning. I do direct you to the www.masonsleadbetter.com website. There's some information on what the course is about, the workshop's about, and a summary of the topics that we're going to hit. But you can always go there and pick up that information. But let me summarize it real quick about what you will experience if you've not had the workshop in your district. And that's it's built as a personal journey of improvement. We are Masons. We are taught that we are to be constantly educating ourselves, improving our abilities, honing our abilities. And the Masons Lead Better program is to get together, dialogue about how we might improve ourselves and there are some exercises you will come in contact with in the Masons Lead Better workshop that will help you do that. We go through a lot of time. We spend some time helping you assess yourself, discovering the values that are important to you, helping you recognize some leadership skills you might already have and help you define how you might use those for improving, help improve your family circumstances, help other people in your life. And you will also, a big part of Masons Lead Better is about using the tools and lessons of Masonry in a practical way so that you can better serve all of the areas in your life and hopefully use those skills and that knowledge to improve your lodge and the entire fraternity of Freemasonry. And that's why, frankly, that's why I invited Michael to be with us again, because he has a good insight on the practical workings of his journey about how he uses the tools. So that's what his book's about. You also understand that the since Masons lead better, the workshops on a day, it's scheduled for about 6 hours. You can only go so far in 6 hours. Matter of fact, the workbook is 50 or more pages and chock full of exercises. And by the time you hit the highlights and do a little bit of the exercises during the workshop, you're out of time. So it is an event. And hopefully the event will motivate you, maybe inspire you to begin this process and immerse yourself in improving yourself. And by doing so, you improve your lodge. We talk about in Masons Lead Better about how to lead change. And a change process always begins with some awareness of where you might be. In an organization, a leader has to define his reality. And if it's your personal change and your personal reality, you have to become aware of some things you believe in, some things you're good at. I mentioned before were some of the values that may be important to you. So that's what we do in Masons Lead Better workshop. And to begin change, if we're going to change and improve, enhance our Masonic fraternity, we have to start with ourselves. You can't effectively lead others until you have learned to lead yourself. So if you recognize this event is just that, a starting point, a day to recognize where you are, become aware, and then move on from there. So that's the Masons Lead Better program. The Master Builder program is just a piece, the Master Builder calls that you're on this evening is just a piece of a continuing effort to keep the dialogue that has started and the work that has started on you personally and for Masonry continuing. This monthly call is to enhance that experience you get at the workshop, but also we are starting in each of your districts in Ohio a method that can be continued in your district, and we're calling it a Master Builder Group. And this becomes that local piece that you gather together and support each other, encourage each other, exchange ideas. So if anyone is familiar with the author Napoleon Hill, he coined the term and created mastermind groups. Matter of fact, Brother Benjamin Franklin started a mastermind group, the Junta, that he held on a weekly basis and gathered together people in selective men in his community, and they discussed successes, failures, what helps to improve business. From that group, they got together and started the first public library. So a mastermind group is that dialogue and bringing together different viewpoints, and we as Masons getting together with the same values and bringing those thoughts and ideas together, and then we'll walk away with greater understanding and greater education. Well, as I said, Michael couldn't be with us, and what I intended to talk with him about is the last month we talked about the first chapter in his book, was, which was the 24-inch gauge, and what that meant, and how that played out in your home life, in your work life, and how that might be used. We do that in the Mason's Lead Better Workshop and talk about, that is a tool of time management. Tonight, we were going to talk with Michael, and he was going to discuss the second chapter in his book, which discusses the next tool, which are the compass, which is the compasses. Now, if you think about the lesson that the degree teaches us about the compasses is all about recognizing that we need to control a number of things, but one of the things is our emotions, our passions. We have to recognize that we are Masons, and not only in Lodge, but when we are in public, we need to, if we are to do what we have promised ourselves to do, to distinguish ourselves from the rest of the community, we have to apply the compasses and control our emotions, especially when we have those crazy situations that everybody gets in every day that are stressful, that are, you encounter people who are not acting in the best way they should. I always like to use the situation of driving your car. We all have encountered some crazy stuff trying to drive our car from one point to another, and people not acting in a manner that they should be when they're driving, dodging in and out of traffic, speeding up, slowing down, texting on their phone, talking on their phone, not paying attention to the primary job at hand, that's driving their car, and that becomes very frustrating. We always have a good time with that in the workshop about, you know, how many have become upset and not acted in a manner befitting our profession as Masons. So the 24-inch, or the compasses, should remind us of the fact that we need to keep our emotions intact. I, when I found Mike wasn't going to be here tonight, I quickly grabbed article I have talking about emotional intelligence, and I thought I might hit some of the key points of that before we open up the call here, so we can all discuss topics and weigh in on some of the tools and lessons surrounding the compasses and other things. So I just thought I would go through this emotional intelligence article so we understand what that is, because it deals with the part of we're human beings, and the part of human beings that the compasses ask us to control our emotions. And we all know people that are good at controlling and managing their emotions. And we also know people that are, as we say, have short fuses. And our job as Masons is try to, if we do have a tendency to react in a manner that we shouldn't, we need to recognize that and control that. That's what Masonry is teaching us with the compasses. And those people who are masters at managing their emotions, they don't get angry, you know, in stressful, so they seem to be calm. And, you know, they have the ability to look at a problem and calmly find a solution. I think we all know those people. And even some are so relaxed about it, that that they are in control of their emotions. They laugh about situations. I talk about driving the car. There are people that just say, hey, look at that crazy guy, and laugh about it. Well, studies have found that people with great higher emotional intelligence are excellent decision makers. And they know when to trust their intuition. And intuition is, it's a combination of experience, facts, training. I always talk about intuition in the sense that I always talk about first responders, police officers, firefighters, military personnel who have been trained, highly trained to respond to stressful situations where they need to control their emotions and let their training take hold. And it does, and these people are highly intuitive in doing what they do. They automatically react based on their intuition, and that's because of their training, and they're controlling their emotions. That's what the compasses do for us. Well, they don't do for us. They remind us what we should be doing. So people who take criticism well, look at themselves honestly, have a control and a high degree of emotional intelligence. And so emotional intelligence, what is it? Well, it's the ability to recognize your emotions, understand what they're telling you, and realize how your emotions affect people around you. You know, if you scream and yell at somebody needlessly because you have not controlled your emotions, you have not used the compasses and thought about it, you could bring harm to someone else. And emotional intelligence helps you realize that you do affect people with your emotions. It also involves your perception of others. When you understand how they feel, in other words, the old walk a mile in someone else's shoes, this allows you to manage relationships more effectively. We talk about, in the Mason's Lead Better program, about connecting and engaging. And if we are going to, I've heard a lot of the brothers in the workshop talk about how can I engage more people, more of the brothers to show up and lodge. How can I do that? And that's about connecting and communicating, and it has to do somewhat with emotional intelligence. What are the characteristics of emotional intelligence? Daniel Goleman, who is an American psychologist, developed this framework of what I'm going to present here quickly tonight. And it's about the five elements that define emotional intelligence. First of all, he says the first framework is self-awareness. People with high emotional intelligence are very self-aware. They understand their emotions, and because of this, they don't let their feelings rule them. They're confident. They trust in their intuition, and they don't let their emotions get out of control. Our compasses are reminding us not to let our emotions get out of control. And these self-aware people, they're also willing to take an honest look at themselves. And as leaders, we talk about, as a leader, you need to know your strengths as well as your weaknesses. And your weaknesses is someone with high emotional intelligence can look at his weaknesses and say, hey, I know I'm not good at that. And that's when you rely on someone else to support you as a leader when you are not as good at one thing and you know somebody who is and they can be on your team and support you. And also being self-aware and knowing your strengths and weaknesses, you can work on these areas and perform better. Many people believe that self-awareness is the most important part of emotional intelligence. And we talk about being aware in the Masons Lead Better by saying that the first, and I think I said it earlier tonight, the first step of change is certainly being aware. The second piece that Dr. Goldman says is the characteristic of high emotional intelligence is self-regulation. And that's what we're speaking about when we're talking about the compasses, self-regulation. And this is the ability to control your emotions. And in our case, we say our passions and your impulses. And so people who self-regulate don't typically allow themselves to become too angry or jealous, or they don't make impulsive, crazy, careless decisions. They think before they act. And so this characteristic, some of the characteristics of being self-regulating, in our case, having the compasses at our side, are thoughtfulness, comfort with change, integrity, and all of those other things that go along with integrity, trust, respect, which are great qualities for a leader. So as a leader, if we're going to be Masonic leaders in a fraternity, we have to think about the compasses and self-regulation. Another characteristic of emotional intelligence is motivation. People with a high degree of emotional intelligence are usually very, very motivated people. And motivated people with high emotional intelligence are willing to defer immediate results for long-term success. They also don't fear these short-term failures. They love a challenge, and they're very effective in whatever they do. So emotional intelligence equates to high motivation. The next to the last piece of emotional intelligence is empathy. And Dr. Goldman describes this as the second most important element of emotional intelligence. And empathy is the ability to identify with and understand the wants, needs, and viewpoints of those around you. People with empathy are good at recognizing the feelings of others, even when those feelings may not be obvious. As a result, empathetic people are usually excellent at managing relationships, listening, and relating to others. Think about that as a leader. Those are great, great qualities of a leader. I say all the time, and you'll hear it in the workshop if you haven't heard the been to the workshop yet, is that one of the greatest things and tools that a leader has is the ability to create, maintain effective leadership or relationships. By creating effective relationships, you can do amazing things. You create trust, you create respect, you gain influence. So empathy, being able to manage and think about the wants and needs and viewpoints of those around you, is something that if we're going to improve Masonry, is something we need to understand. If you say, gee, my lodge, only 10 guys showed up and we have 100 members, then maybe you need to think about empathy and greater understand the wants, needs, and viewpoints of why those lodge members aren't showing up. Empathy. And the one thing, listening, is something that all leaders need to do. And finally, the last thing is social skills. And high emotional intelligence relates to someone with high emotional intelligence. Usually easy to talk to. They like people with good social skills. And typically are good team players. There's a whole section in leadership about how to recognize a potential leader, and that's something that I hope someday we can get into in Mason's Lead Better. As you recognize who might be a good potential leader, and those with good social skills and good high emotional intelligence are potentially good leaders for our organization. And these high emotional intelligent people, rather than focus on their own successes first, they help others develop and shine. They can manage disputes, are excellent communicators, and are masters at building and maintaining relationships, just like a leader, a great leader. So I thought, since we did have Michael, it might be well to talk about emotional intelligence. All this from the compasses, all this about recognizing that tool is put in our Masonic toolbox for a reason. And that reason is partly what I've described here about emotional intelligence. And next time, hopefully we get Michael back, we can talk about what he says in his book. You know, he's got a great perspective in his book about the applying the compasses, and he talks about everyday pressures and how it's easy to get caught up in your own deal, and you get impatient. You have to wait in line. You get impatient. Someone's fumbling around trying to find money or writing a check. You get impatient at work. And you get impatient at home. So these are things we need to recognize when we think about the compasses. In the Mason's Lead Better workbook, and if you think about how it's constructed, we talk about understanding, in this case, the compasses, understanding what it means to you, and some thoughts about how that might help you and situations that you might get into that would cause you to lose your temper. Not only, you know, outside the lodge, but more in lodge. We talk about, I've done a program on called Leading with Masonic Values. And one of the things that I often say is I can't understand how there could be an argument in lodge if you think about the concept of brotherly love, and then you think about the concept we're talking about tonight, which are the compasses, which say to control your emotions, control your response. And so in the Mason's Lead Better program, we asked you, and you will, and maybe some of you have already done that, how will the compass think about this after the night? How will the compasses, how can they benefit me in my life? How can they benefit me if I control my emotions with my family? How can they benefit me if I control my emotions on my job? If I'm still working, maybe by controlling your emotions, you can better understand your coworkers. Certainly in your community, we ask that we conduct ourselves as Masons in the community. And if we're not doing that, we need to recognize that we need to grab a hold of those compasses. So what I want to do tonight, right now, with that, I would like to turn on the Q&A. And how this works, if you've first time on the call, if you've got some comments, you've got some questions, you want to make a statement, this is wide open. You got some thoughts about the compasses or anything else, hit star 6 on your phone. It'll pop you in the queue, and I'll see you right here on the screen, and I'll recognize you, unmute you, and you got the mic. So the line's wide open. Anybody got some thoughts? Anybody want to talk about some situations where you found or didn't find that you used the compass as well? We're wide open for those comments right now. And since I'm by myself, guys, be nice to talk to somebody. So somebody wants to jump in and got have some thoughts, and maybe it's something not related to the compasses, but maybe related to something in masonry, some thoughts about how we might improve masonry. I'd be interested to hear that right now. Hit star 6. Brother, good evening. How you doing?
Good evening, Brother Clevenger. Benjamin Okamabwa, Reynolds Burg 340. I really want to say I enjoyed this topic this evening as far as giving us the 5 keys really to high effective emotion intelligence, and wanted to really just piggyback and make a comment on that great direction as far as achieving that high emotional intelligence. It really rings to me in the direction of this one of the 7 habits of Stephen Covey, where he says, "Seek to understand and then be understood." And that pretty much has rang through my life as a mantra. Seek first the powerfulness of using all of those 5 traits as far as self-awareness, the self-recognition, the motivation to convey your point, and even more so that empathy to understand different, whether it's your lodge brothers, whether it's your family members, whether it's your coworkers, to be able to give a deep understanding of the other party involved before you can actually be understood. So I really enjoyed that. But there's also a thing called cognitive dissonance.
Yes, go ahead, man. Teach us.
that's one of the barriers that we often come across, where people with cognitive dissonance is entrenched in their value structure. So really there's no cure to overcome cognitive dissonance. I'm really looking forward to hearing more so we can open up our toolbox and find more tools to be able to overcome people's value systems where they're just so locked in their direction and would want to find out more what we can do to overcome that, what leadership skills we can apply to overcome cognitive dissonance.
Well, it's a good one, and I've made a note about that. We talk about the concept of brotherly love. Matter of fact, that's one of our 3 great tenets of masonry, brotherly love. And then you try to apply that in the world with someone you don't agree with in some manner or another. And some people are very passionate, as we know, about their cause, right?
Absolutely.
And if you seek to, if you try to seek to understand first, you bump into cognitive dissonance when you encounter those people. So good comments. So you're going to teach that for us, right?
I'm a student. I'm near a student.
Gotcha. Aren't we all? We are. Well, thanks, brother. Appreciate the comment.
Thank you, Brother Clevenger.
You're welcome. Now we got Brother Nall. How are you doing?
Doing well, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was hoping that we could maybe touch on the 4th element and empathy, and maybe open it up to the group.
Okay.
I've been a member for about a year and a half, and I guess, you know, I've heard a lot of discussion on, you know, our membership dwindling or a lack of people showing up. So I just wanted to know what you guys thought as to why people aren't coming to Lodge.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts, brother?
I don't see a lot of the brothers, I guess, mixing together before and after meetings. I guess there's
gotcha.
Really no activities to kind of increase the, you know, the brotherhood, the bonding part.
Yeah, and very good comment. Very good comment. Matter of fact, that comment came up in one of the workshops in that we were discussing what you would like to see Masonry look like. What are some of the things that would be a vision for us to head toward? And someone said, increase brotherhood. Just increase the experience when someone's there. And certainly, it, you know, people join organizations, not just Masons, but all organizations, to have a greater experience in a smaller group among a number of things. But they want some personal experience in that group. And we're supposed to be a fraternity, which means we're supposed to project brotherly love, especially when we're in Lodge. And it's interesting you made that comment that you'd like to see more brotherhood. We seem to get, and I think maybe, did you say that because, you know, we seem to get in there, take care of business and leave and not really even get to know one another.
Right, right. And a lot of the brothers who, you know, we do a lot of charity work over the summertime, and a lot of the brothers who I've done a lot of work with, we have a great time when we go to Lodge. But I think it's what we were doing outside of Lodge and getting to know each other that way while still benefiting the fraternity was, you know, crucial to that increased brotherhood.
Yeah. Well, I you've asked an excellent question for others on the call tonight to jump in and say, yeah, what are some of the things that would increase brotherhood, would encourage more men to show up? I guess I recall a time that I came home from Lodge and I said, what did I enjoy most about that evening? And I remember thinking that what I did enjoy most was not the fact that we did an excellent degree or what, I can't remember what was going on that night. I had a wonderful conversation after the meeting as we had a meal or refreshments or whatever it was that night. We sat there and talked in a table and just got to know one another. And that was the most enjoyable part of the evening. For me, and that goes right along with what you're just saying. I think we sometimes get in a hurry, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, we were, I think it was a week ago, we were at a meeting, and we were doing refreshments beforehand. But anyways, we were playing Cornhole before the meeting. And actually a lot of the brothers ended up playing. So I actually got to meet probably a good 7-8 brothers who I haven't met yet, just from, you know, doing something casual.
Just hanging out and doing something casual. Right, right, right. Well, I agree. Who's got other thoughts? Thanks, Brother Nall. I appreciate you, your comment. Maybe we can stir some comments here. What are some of the things we can do to build relationships, know our brothers better, and increase the attendance at our lodges? How can we, what are some of the ways we can further connect with our brothers? Like to know your thoughts. Like to know your thoughts. I will mention while I'm waiting for some of the star six and get you right in the queue, in that regard, I always mention, and there could be members of this lodge, well, I'll hold that thought. There's someone in the queue here. Good evening, brother. Why don't you identify yourself? Hello? You there? Let's try the next one here. Good evening, brother.
Hello, brother. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Who is this?
This is Past Master Joe Williams from Delhi Hills, 775.
Okay, Joe. Yeah, thanks for being here.
Great. I love it. Two things. One to touch base on the last brother that mentioned about lodge membership. And that's always a concern. We talk about the membership, you know, at Grand Lodge last year. You know, when I first came in, we were up over 100,000 members in Ohio. Now we're down to like 92,000. Unfortunately, brethren die. We don't pass along the tradition and bring somebody else in. I think that's key. If we can take, you know, each Mason takes a personal goal of passing along a tradition. Myself, I'm a first generation. I'm the first of my family to join Masonry. So this is a new endeavor for me, but I know that with seeing all the decline, if we don't do our job as Masons and brethren to pass along something that was given to me, we're not doing the fraternity any injustice. And it may be in, you know, the rules have changed over the years of how we approach people and how Masonry gets into people's lives. But there's always somebody in your circles that you think would benefit, or the fraternity, even better yet, even the fraternity would benefit by having that person as a member.
Sure.
So I think that's
sure.
I think that's key.
Yeah.
But also to touch on the membership attending, we get a small little lodge on the west side of Cincinnati, and you know, our membership ranges between, you know, 120 to 130 usually.
Yeah.
So we're a small lodge, so our numbers are greatly affected by the smallest of details. It's, you know, they say if you get 10% of your membership to show up, you're doing pretty well. That doesn't,
right?
That brings 12 people to my lodge.
Gotcha.
So
I hear you.
You got to do a little bit better than that. One thing, and I think our masters over the years, we've had a tremendous upswing in the last, since I've been in. And I think each master creates a goal that, and a lot of times it's plain just hard work, you know, whether it be, you know, putting new carpet in or painting the place or, but that's a great way of generating guys to come together, because it's not all work. Guys get to hang out together. But it's things that are needed. But we also, you know, one thing that's really worked for us is we've got a local community event that kind of touches everybody in this little neighborhood, and that's what we're looking at is, you know, our community. How do we influence our community and our families? And, you know, I think every little small community's got something, whether it be a, you know, Christmas parade or Veterans Day parade or some big charity or fireworks that year. You know, we've gotten involved in our local event, and you know, everybody that comes to Masonry has got it in themselves that they want to give back to their community. I would say for the majority, everybody comes searching for something, and usually that's top of the list. They want to give back to their community and be part of something bigger than just themselves. Well, it's turned into an unbelievable event where, you know, I get 20 to 30 people to show up to just help a carnival-type situation, charity event, and everybody has a great time doing it. And that's something that we do outside of the lodge. The camaraderie is unbelievable. And, you know, people pass and say, what are those guys doing? And it's been
right.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
My question, you mentioned identifying leaders and looking at the qualities that make people good leaders. I know you talked about maybe bringing that up in the future. I'd love to see that topic because, like I said, with a small lodge, with a small membership, it's always nice to have other people step up through the ranks that that you can identify and not lose them. And kind of flourish. Something that they may have in themselves already. So
yeah, I'd be glad to do that. Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. Well, I thanks your comment, Joe, and appreciate the input, and the message there I heard was, you know, we do serious work. I mean, Masonry, if you think about the lessons and tools, is serious. It's about improving ourselves and increasing our education. But there has to be an element of camaraderie. We have to have fun being together. And if you want to, you want an engaged lodge, here's an element Brother Joe just talked about was, you know, people like that, guys like to have fun together. If you want somebody to come to your lodge and you've just worked your butt off over the weekend on a project together and you want to see your brothers again and they're going to be at lodge, you're going to go. If it's going to be enjoyable, you're going to be there. So thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. One of the things, the thought I had before Joe jumped in there and brought that. Anybody else, by the way, anybody else, some thoughts about getting engagement, getting people to those meetings? I'll suggest to you, if you go to FreemasonUniversity.com, look under the management section, and Dwayne Kimberling does a video and some teaching on holding meetings that people will come to. And it's pretty, that's pretty to point. You know, we're talking about engagement, that's pretty to point. So I would suggest you go to there. We're talking about the compasses. So we started talking about the compasses here. And anybody got any more thoughts about that or anything else, jump in here. But I want to get back to that just a minute. We talked about the compasses remind us to control our emotions. And I gave you a little insight on the pieces and the characteristics of emotional intelligence. So how do you... I see no one in the queue, so let me button that whole topic up by saying, you know, how do you improve your emotional intelligence? Can you do it? Well, the good news is, yeah, you can. Emotional intelligence can be learned, can be developed, and you work on those five areas I just talked about, being self-aware. When your emotions get out of hand, be aware they're out of hand. Remember the compasses and work on self-regulation. Other people can't motivate you. You're going to have to motivate yourself. And when you go through the workshop, we've got some things that I have you do that might motivate you to do some of this. And certainly practicing empathy, managing your relationships, listening. You'd be amazed just how connected you can be to someone if you just listen to them. And then if you're awkward, if you're naturally a shy person, work on your social skills. And being in lodge helps you with that. Going to meet a new brother in a safe environment. We're all lodge brothers. And so do that. So that you can improve your emotional intelligence by recognizing those areas. And so you start looking at yourself and figuring out, how do you react to people? How would you feel if you were in their situation? Do a self-evaluation. Examine yourself, recognize when you're in a stressful situation and how you react. Just start observing yourself, thinking about the compasses and observing yourself. What are you weak at? Do you have stressful situations in your life that constantly occur? Maybe there's something you need to look at there. And change your environment, change your friends, maybe go to lodge more often. And start to this examination and then start taking responsibility for your actions. Remember the compasses and start taking responsibility. So you can increase your emotional intelligence. I got another brother here on the queue. Let's see what's on his mind. Brother Taylor, got you on.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Frank, good. I wanted to kind of jump in there on this empathy in particular.
Sure.
I was one of those young guys years ago who joined the lodge, and my job just kind of took me out of a lot of the meetings, and it was really frustrating. I hung on and sporadically attended. Then I retired a couple of years ago, and I feel as though I understand some of the young guys in our lodge say, I got to go out of town to work, or I got to go here or there. I think I hear what they're saying, and don't feel like I put any pressure on them now that I've got time to really give myself to the fraternity. And one of the things that I've seen that's helped our lodge, as well as myself, is when we travel, boy, that is really a great time for socializing.
Yep.
And we get to, we do our work sometimes, because I love to do the ritual and be a part of the ritual. I'm the chaplain in our lodge. And when we practice, because we like each other, we can push each other a little bit. And it's everybody kind of goes to a whole different level, and when somebody gets a little wired gets out of sorts, feels like they're letting down the team, I guess that's the time to really see if you are highly emotionally controlled.
Well, that's true, and that's a good point. I mean, understanding, you just talked about the young brothers, understanding them and putting yourself, empathize with them and put, you've been there. They got stress from their family, their job.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that and putting yourself in their place, I can only help, I think, draw them closer to the lodge, because they've got brothers who are caring about them and want to help them be a part of the lodge, and mm-hmm. yet recognize they got other problems that they have to deal with. And you mentioned another thing, Frank, that I thought was great, was about knowing each other well enough as a team to be able to say, hey, man, you're not carrying your load here. What's going on? How can I mm-hmm. help you? And doing that in a manner that it doesn't make the other guy mad.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking of an example in particular last year before our inspection. Now, one of the guys stood up and said, now, after we finish the inspection, and let's stay on target. Let's don't let our guard down, and let's finish. And some of the guys didn't quite get it, and he got a little frustrated, and I said, I think I understand, man. Are you talking about the two-minute warning in football? And we all got to laughing about that. Then I just walked over and hugged him. And then the brothers heard us say, I love you, man, and all that. I knew what he was talking about.
Sure.
I just knew what he's talking about, because this is the greatest fraternity. It really is. And
yeah, well said, Frank.
You can really show your love to your brothers, and it's cool. You can show your vulnerable side.
Yeah.
And so
that's
wanted to jump in and kind of say
I appreciate
that.
It. Yeah. Well, thanks, Frank. Appreciate you being on the call and those comments. That is a cool thing. Brother Frank just said that this fraternity, we talk that tenet of brotherly love is not just words. It needs to be demonstrated in being able to be at lodge in a safe environment where everyone has the values you have and has your back, you know? That's kind of a cool place. And the question came up, how to get more guys to come to lodge. It's creating that environment where they know they can go and everybody loves them. Everybody are glad to see them. Everyone understands why they're not there, when they're not there, and empathize with them. This is the great part of the fraternity. Excuse me. So this whole thing about compasses. I'm sorry, tickle in my throat. This whole thing about the compasses triggers. You can see just how massive this is. And last month we talked about the 24-inch gauge. It became massive, and massive means that it touches just all kinds of places in your life. And that's what Mason's Lead Better has been constructed to do, is make you aware just how many tools you have at your disposal as a Mason, and some of the cool things that can happen because you're a Mason. We're getting close to 8 o'clock. Anyone have any final comments? I'll be glad to hear from you. I want to respect your time and know that you've taken time out of your evening to be here. I think it's been great. It's been great. Before I forget it, next month, the call is on Wednesday, February 28th, February the 18th. Wednesday, February the 18th at 7 o'clock. When Brother Kirkab called me from Los Angeles, I suggested that we might try to get him back next month, so I'll try at that. Certainly, we're always open here for suggestions. I like the suggestion, a lesson on how to identify leaders. I've got that in big bold letters on my notepad here, so we'll get that worked in. Remind you, one last thing. I've gotten some emails about, I made the comment that these recordings will be on the website. I apologize, they're not there yet. I had some construction type problems with the website in that I wanted to add some additional things other than the recording on those pages, so you had some even more content to help you with, and I ran into some problems there. I've got those worked out now. Within the next couple of days, this is our third call. Those will be all up there. There will not be a password on that, so you can just click right on the menu and listen to these calls and absorb the material. So anyway, it's a little after 8. Brothers, I certainly appreciate the time you've taken here to be here this evening. I always enjoy this. I look forward to, if you've not had your workshop, to meet you in your workshop. If you've not signed up for the workshop, please do. If you know brothers who have not signed up for the workshop, please do. I unmuted everybody. If everyone wants to say good night to everybody else, brothers, thank you and good night. We'll see you next month.
Good night, Mike.
Good night, brother.
See y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.